first got into wholesaling in DFW, people would tell us like, oh no, this market's flooded. I mean, we're talking about 2014, you know, it's harder now than it was then.
Don't you remember people used to tell us that you can't wholesale in DFW because it was too flooded? I told them, no idea. I have this secret weapon called Investor Carrot.
Exactly. I remember you. No, I think RJ and I are the kind of people, like, if you tell us we can't do something, we're not necessarily going to listen to you. It kind of motivates us to make sure, you know, it kind of fuels our fire. You know, we're going to make sure we can do it or that we can't, one way or another.
So on this episode, we've got RJ Bates, Cassie DeHaas. Now, they are the co-founders of Titanium Investments in Dallas, Texas. So Dallas, Texas is a highly competitive market. And last year, they were able to do over 200 deals spread across five different markets. And so they came on to talk to you about how to break into new markets the right way, how to get in the door fast, even when it's not your primary market. So it's going to be great. They're also going to talk a little bit about how they bake purpose into their company, how they still wake up excited to do this job every single day. So get ready to take notes. And before we roll the episode real quick, I want to let you know where this came from and how you can get more sessions just like this. So recently at Carrot, we held our first ever Market Leaders Summit. Now, this is not your average webinar. What we did is for two whole days, we gathered the top real estate investors from around the country and we picked their brains on exactly what they're doing to thrive in this industry in 2019. We asked them their strategies, their tactics, their tips. We wanted to know everything they're doing that's made them successful real estate investors. So the episode that you're hearing today is actually just one session out of the 16 that we recorded live. If you want to get access to the rest of the sessions for a limited time of 50% off, head to carrot.com/summit where you can grab all of the recordings for 50% off and have lifetime access to them. Now in the summit, we had Max Maxwell, who did over $1 million last year in wholesaling alone. He's given away his best strategies. We also had Dave Brown, who is pulling in multiple six figures 100% from SEO. We had Christina Krause dropping absolute knowledge bombs on direct mail and everything she's doing to make direct mail work for her. You see, day one of the summit was all about leads. How do I get more leads? How can I close more deals? Day two was about how can I build a business for freedom, flexibility, profit, and impact? How can I really build a business that sets me free? Systems, hiring, everything else you need to know. So head to carrot.com/summit to get the recordings while they're still here. Enjoy this episode, and we'll see you in just a bit.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Coming at you with another session of the Market Leaders Summit. And I've got some of my favorite people here with me on this session. And when you guys meet them here on the summit, you'll know why. But I love their energy. I love just their zest for life, especially being in person. We had a chance to hang out in Dallas a couple times. And I also love just their ambition because they're doing big things. They're doing 100 plus deals a year there in Dallas and several other markets. And they've merged with one of their collaborators there in the market. And they're doing amazing things. So I thought, let's bring them on and have them show what's happening in one of the biggest markets in the country. But they're also in a bunch of different spots and what their strategy is shifting over the next couple of years. But I want to introduce on. Are you guys co-CEOs? Is that, like, what's your guys' role? Are you guys co-CEOs or what's the?
We don't like titles.
Yeah, we don't believe in titles at Titanium Investments. We pretty much just, if you're a man, you're a warrior king. You're a woman, you're a warrior queen. So
cool. So co-founders are the two co-founders of Titanium Investments. Out of Dallas, Texas, but we have RJ and Cassie on here. Appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having us.
So, thank you for all those kind words, by the way. I mean, we're you know, you're one of our heroes, and you when we first got started. We looked up to you so much. So, this is a very humbling moment for us to be on here with you like this.
I appreciate it, man. It's funny. It's probably 4, 5, 6 months ago. I saw you, RJ, do a presentation up in front of, I think it's Propelio's event, and you walked through a deal that you'd done on the Facebook side of it. And it's funny, I didn't even know until then that you guys were doing a lot of the online stuff. I knew you've been Carrot members. I see leads coming in there, a lot of leads, but I didn't know you were diving deep on the Facebook side and you guys crush it offline. So I'm pumped to kind of pull some of that apart in this session. But Absolutely. As we're going through the session, y'all use the hashtag Market Leader Revealed and use the hashtag Market Leaders. I'm sorry. Use the hashtag Market Leader Summit, hashtag Market Leader Summit, and go find RJ and Cassie on Facebook and Instagram if they're there, but for sure Facebook, and tag them to the nuggets you pull out of this session the most. Tag them to it and then tag me to it. And you guys will be entered into a drawing to win some of these amazing books we're giving away during the summit, but also a $1,000 package with Carrot. So use that hashtag, y'all. But who are you guys? Where do you guys live? And you know, kind of go over the essence of your business. What are you guys doing in there? You flip and you wholesale, kind of what are you guys doing?
So I'm RJ. It's Cassie, Titanium Investments. We both live in Fort Worth, Texas. We consider our corporate headquarters to be located, but we do have other branches of Titanium Investments in Phoenix, Arizona, on Oahu and Hawaii, Anchorage, Alaska, St. Louis, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then we're also now branching into Birmingham, Alabama, and Akron, Ohio. Mm-hmm. We're going to be our main markets.
Yeah, but
those are most of them. In each market, we do have different strategies that we focus on. One of the things that we're going to talk about is kind of how we're adjusting to the climate change, I guess, in real estate investing in 2019. We started off as wholesalers. So that was what we really consider like our core competency. That's what we mainly focus on. Some of the other markets, they do present better opportunities as flip markets and as rental markets. We do have a passion for growing our passive income. So in the past 12 to 18 months, we've acquired, I think, 125 plus rental properties. And that's something that we're going to continue to do. But really, if you had to nail down what we really focus on, it's wholesale. Mm-hmm.
Rentals than that. But yeah, we definitely have experience in all of it, and you know, some markets we focus more on one strategy than the other because it's just kind of what the market leads us to do. Mm-hmm. But I also have my real estate license. We use it pretty much as a tool in our business, and yeah, I mean, basically that kind of sums us up. We flip as well. I don't think you really mentioned that we flip houses. We've flipped hundreds of houses.
I should probably give us a little bit more credit. But and again, that goes back to being in multiple markets. So do a lot more flipping in, say, Hawaii and Alaska, St. Louis, or Tulsa. Those are better rental markets for us. And here at DFW, because we're located, this is where the corporate headquarters is. We do all of them pretty in large volume.
So there's several reasons I want to bring you guys on here. I want to unpack some of these things for everyone listening to this. Number one, I really love the purpose you guys make in your business. I know when we were down there at Investor Fuel, I was really cool seeing, was it Kids Beat Cancer? Is that?
Beat Kids Cancer.
Beat Kids Cancer. That's right. Beat Kids Cancer, the foundation you guys have. Did your golf tournament come off pretty darn good? I saw some pictures from it.
Yeah, it was amazing. Our Investor Fuel family definitely supported us. Just literally by me mentioning something in my hot seat presentation, the Investor Fuel family jumped on it. We raised over $5,000 just right then and there in the room. The golf tournament that we host every year, we call it the Titanium Golf Classic. The DFW market has really rallied behind us and joined in our vision to help these families that are undergoing treatment. And we raised over $25,000 this year at the golf tournament.
That's crazy. That's cool.
And Investor Fuel gave us $30,000, which is absolutely mind-boggling because this is technically our first full year of being a nonprofit. So yep. Amazing opportunities. And since then, we've been able to use those funds to pay mortgages, tax liens, car payments, electric bills, cell phone bills for families that are currently undergoing treatment here at DFW.
It's been the golf tournament is an incredible experience, but the entire thing has been a pretty incredible experience, I think, for all of us and our team. And I think that, you know, it blows me away every day. I'm very humbled that every time it crosses my mind what we've been able to do with that. And it really all goes back to just what an incredible giving network that we have, not just in DFW and not just in Investor Fuel, but in the real estate community that we're in touch with. It blows me away. And so
If you've never checked out TrevorMock.com and gone to his life list, one of his items on his life list is to host a charity event. I think a golf tournament, right?
It is, man. Dude, I forgot about that until you literally said that.
Like, and your goal was to raise $20,000, and you actually crossed it off, and you said $30,000 should have aimed higher.
Yeah.
And when we did that this year, I was like, dude, it's pretty awesome when you can actually achieve a Trevor Mock life.
Dude, that's huge.
I feel like I'm the coolest person in the world right now. Didn't tell me about that.
And it gets you, like, before I move on here, there's something I want everyone to listen to is as you start to build your business and you kind of get past your someday goal, right? Like, you know, years ago when you started your company, you're like, someday when we hit X, then I will blah, whatever it is, you know, then I'll be happy. Then I will be able to contribute or whatever. The problem is when you hit your someday goal, you start to, it's weird. You're financially solid, but then you're going, man, there's something missing. And it's impact. And that's why I talk a lot about, for entrepreneurs, we want to be entrepreneurs for freedom, flexibility, finances, and impact. Once we get those finances, you hope that you run your business correctly so you have freedom and flexibility. Not everyone does. They did it the wrong way. I've done that before. But then the fourth part is impact. And I'm proud of you guys for stepping forward and stepping into that in a big way.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate that. And you're absolutely right that you do hit a certain point where financially, you thought if you hit those financial goals, everything would be great in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily. And it's amazing. It is an amazing feeling to be there and realize now I have a bigger calling outside of just earning money,
yep,
impacting other people's lives. And really, I say it all the time now, there is no check, no dollar amount that I could receive on a piece of paper or in a wire that will ever be greater than the looks on the faces of the kids at the hospitals, the nurses, the social workers, the feedback that we get from the families when we're able to support them, even if it's a little, you know, $400 car payment, you know, that's life changing to them. And there's just nothing better than that.
I agree. And I think that when people are going through tragic times, because that is a tragic thing to be dealing with as a family, I personally have been through a tragedy in my past that one of the most heartwarming moments that I experienced in that is I came back and I didn't have to because of people that cared for me enough to think about the things that I could not think about while I was going through that. Mm. They took care of those things for me financially, my bills, you know, because I'm off work, you know, and so that was like a huge inspiration behind that. And I give RJ a lot of credit going back to getting to the point where we are making an impact sooner than I originally thought that we would. I remember, it's just so funny because this is something that always strikes me as well. I remember when we first closed down our contracting company and we were going to go full-time investing, or right before that, we wrote down, you know, what some of our life goals were, and charity was a big one for me. You know, like that's what I call my retirement. And, you know, I wrote down, like within 10 years from that day, I wanted to, you know, be able to start our first charity. And we actually did it in two.
That's cool.
And I'm like looking at him. I will never forget when he tells me in like, you were such a freight train, but I'm on this train. Let's go. So it is incredible. What having that passion, really, when you really want to do something, how quickly you can do it. It still blows me away every day.
And that's one thing I want every single person to take away from this right here is you don't have to wait until the big, huge dollar amount in your bank account to be able to start to give. You have to be passionate. You have to have a cause that you want to really change. And RJ said right there, he was able to surround other investors around his passion, your guys' passion around that cause. Both of you guys at Investor Fuel, when you guys are telling us about it, we wanted to support it because you're passionate. We didn't know those kids. We hadn't read the thing and had a chance to connect with the family, but we saw your passion. And that's something that I want everybody listening to this part of the summit to realize. How can you influence others to create change, even if you don't have the big money in your bank account yet? But if you do, you can always start smaller. You can always start at this level and then grow it and then grow it and then grow it and then grow it. I think a lot of people, myself included, you think, well, shoot, I've got to have $10 million in the bank and then I'm going to set up this foundation. Then I'm going to da 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 da.
Well, it's funny to bring it up because actually transitioning from this into our business.
Yep.
I mean, that is actually something that we have utilized to branch into other markets. It's showcasing our passion to people, explaining our vision, and that's enabled us to partner with other people in these other markets, like Phoenix, Arizona, and Hawaii, and Alaska, and Missouri, and Ohio. The reason why is not because of some, you know, secret marketing tool that I know or some strange strategy that nobody else knows about. No, we're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. There's no difference between us, but we do have a passion for our business and a passion for a bigger cause than just how much money goes into RJ and Cassie's bank account. Mm-hmm. Enabling people to find financial freedom through real estate investing. And that's enabled us to grow to other markets. And so, yeah, has it allowed us to do the nonprofit and the charity work? Yes, but it's also the same passion for real estate investing is carried over and allowed Titanium to grow and expand that way as well.
I love it. So let's unpack the different market thing. So I know when we were down in Dallas, Fort Worth, shoot this last investor fuel, I was able to make it too. We started talking about you guys expanding in other markets even. So at what point did you guys go into other markets and kind of how was that a core part of your strategy moving forward in 2019, 2020, 2021?
So when we went full time real estate investing, we started just wholesaling and this is the beginning of 2015 into 2014. And probably March, April of 2015, I quickly determined that there really wasn't much holding us back from wholesaling properties. We were in DFW only, but there wasn't anything holding us back from San Antonio and Austin and Houston, which were about three and a half, 4 hour drives from DFW.
Okay. So, Texas definitely helped us start testing
those
kinds of theories. And I think also, both of us just are absolutely crazy about, passionate about learning about real estate. Like we're always looking for, and to this day, we're always just looking to continue to educate ourselves and learn and pay attention to what other people are doing and things like that. So it really carried us into the other major Texas markets. So we're very fortunate to live in a state that has so many huge markets.
Well, like for example, we located that Austin, Texas was a great market for high-end flips.
Okay.
And flips is a great opportunity to have a very large margin on the wholesale fee. Mm. You know, there's more spread there. And so that enabled us to go in and contract properties for anywhere between $500,000 to $800,000 as a wholesale purchase price.
Jeez.
Very easy to get a $50,000 to $60,000 wholesale fee. Whereas if you're just contracting $25,000 to $30,000 properties, it's going to be a lot harder to actually get that big of a spread on the wholesale fee. So just by diversifying ourselves in the different Texas markets, we were able to grow our business in that regard. And then the first out-of-state, like different state that we went to was Oklahoma, and that was because of buyers. Mm-hmm. We had particular buyers that were buying here in DFW, and they told us, hey, you know, I'm from Tulsa, or I'm buying rentals here, or I'm doing flips in Tulsa. If you can locate similar type deals hitting the Tulsa numbers, then I'll buy from you. And so that just stair-stepped us into moving into those markets. Again, this is not, those aren't partners, but it's networking and showcasing what we can do as a company and making sure we find out what their needs are. Their needs were, hey, I need the same types of deals that you're selling to me here in DFW. I need those in Tulsa. For us, there's no difference in marketing, acquisitions. It just changed a little bit on having to find some local boots on the ground. And our buyers actually helped us with that. So
cool.
On top of it, I think that continuing forward, you know, Oklahoma, things work differently in closing their title different. It really continued to inspire us to learn how real estate operates in other states as well, because eventually RJ's going, well, let's figure out what are our favorite states to do what we do in? What are our states that are most similar to Texas? What are, you know, and just continuing to learn and test. And then from there, on top of education component of it was, you know, we really wanted to diversify. When we first got into wholesaling in DFW, people would tell us like, oh no, this market's flooded. I mean, we're talking about 2014, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And we're like, now it's so different. It's harder now than it was then.
Don't you remember people used to tell us that you can't wholesale in DFW because there's too flooded?
Yeah. And I told them, to be able to get our foot in the door.
I told them, no idea. I have this secret weapon called Investor Carrot.
Exactly. And I remember you I think RJ and I are the kind of people, like, if you tell us we can't do something, we're not necessarily going to listen to you. And it actually kind of motivates us to make sure. You know, it kind of fuels our fire. You know, we're going to make sure we can do it or that we can't one way or another.
Uh-huh.
We actually, I mean, to us, it was not difficult. It made us from the beginning mindful of thinking about diversifying. So from there, we just kept on trucking and we tested a lot of other markets. I think we've done it.
For example, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Still paying art tax on a couple of wholesale.
Portland's crazy, man.
Art taxes, man. I love art. Wow. So we actually, Portland was one of the oddballs for us, but we learned a lot of things. And I would think we've actually done real estate transactions in over half of the United States.
Huh.
At this point, I don't have count. RJ's better because he makes our little map.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Little thing that we'd like to look at from time to time. I want to get it blown up and like put it on
the wall. Real quick, it means by that, if you're just getting started or if you do have quite a few properties, when we first got started, someone mentioned to me, they were like, hey, you should drop a pin on a Google map of every property that you ever wholesale or flip or rent.
Hmm.
So on Google Maps now, I take our different logos and I drop it on each address. So every now and then, when I'm having a bad day, I go look at the app. Because now it has to show the entire world so it can include Hawaii.
I love it.
A really cool moment. I mean, is it for ego? Maybe, but it does.
It doesn't kinda, ego. It reminds us what we're here for.
It does give you perspective of what you've actually been able to do. Because sometimes you feel so small in this big world, you know?
But it pulls you out of the weeds. And for sure, it's like, all right, we're able to impact so many people across the swath of people. I love it. So talking about going into the different markets, day two, and this day we're diving into is like systems and stuff like that. So there's got to be some systems that you guys are deploying. So do you take the same approach when you go into a market? And what, you know, you don't have to go through every system, but are there systems? I know one of them is launching a carrot site. That's something we talked about down in Dallas. You guys have a ton of them. But what are those systems? Where do you house them? Are they Google Docs? Kind of, what are you doing there?
So for systems, and I will just straight up being, this is full disclosure.
Yeah.
It gives me so much of a hard time because, you know, we have tried so many different things. We've been through so many different quote unquote, you know, squares, you know, things like that. And it was really, I think when we started building out our own back office system that we finally within our systems, because you can know your systems like in your sleep, like they're written on the back of your eyelids or, you know, you can know how the process goes, but until you have like tools that make it easy for your people to use, I think it was just always a little bit of a struggle for us. And we had to be so much more hands-on. And now we've built out our own back office system and it's kind of all encompassing. And the fact that we're wholesaling, we're flipping, we have buy and holds, you know, things like that. We never could find something that really gave us everything that we needed and had like accounting pieces and acquisitions pieces and disposition pieces rather than just like lead intake kind of management.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge one for us. We do use a ton of Google Drive. Like it is, I'm all about the Google.
Let's just give them a quick rundown of the things that we use. So that way, if you're listening, this is the moment they got your pen and paper because I'm going to tell you everything that we use. So we use QuickBase for our CRM. That's the back office system that she's talking about. It's similar to Podio, a little bit more complicated on the coding side of things. But that's enabled us to build out not only our lead management software, but also where we manage our contracts and our actual property management. We have previously used AppFolio. We found that to be cumbersome in the fact that we would have Podio for lead. And then there was kind of this disconnect on how do you manage rehabs. So we were doing a lot of that on Excel spreadsheets.
Mm.
AppFolio was for our rentals and our owner finance and property management. Now we have all that in QuickBase. We use G Suites. So we use that for Google Drive, for all of our marketing photos, all of our documents.
All of the things.
Everything is pretty much in Google Drive. We utilize Google Hangouts for our company-wide meetings.
We utilize everything in G Suite. So like Google Keep, we use just everything in G Suite is amazing. It really fills the gaps because no matter how much I would love for any sort of like, so Titanium Business Systems is where we keep all of our project flow. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. And you know, it has accounting pieces and things like that, but it's still like for an everlasting document storage and ongoing thing like that for photos, for people who are on the ground, it is essential. And then on a communications standpoint, we use Workplace. So
Facebook Workplace.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, cool.
And so it works just like I wouldn't say just like, but it's very similar to Facebook. It functions pretty much the exact same way with you have a page and then a messenger. And then within that page, because we have so many different companies that are throughout, we can divide the communications between people.
Into groups. So, yeah. So just like any regular Facebook group. So we have like the Alaska group. When Pete, who is our Alaska partner, he goes and walks a property in Alaska to give us an update on a rehab or something that we're, if it's a lead and we're looking to acquire it, he can upload pictures or he can do a Facebook Live right there with me and Kathy on it.
That's cool.
Just like we're on Facebook, you know?
Hmm. And then like weekly goal, like we do, instead of texts, we use the messenger. So like it's a group message. And it just, the notifications being separate than my phone or being separate than regular Facebook and being to where nobody else can access them, it does function differently than just a regular Facebook group or having like a different one for every one of our branches of our business. It really is wonderful. It's done wonders for our communication with our other markets. And additionally, it's like we put, you know, like what we call the Titanium Top 5. So our 5 weekly, you know, musts, like this is what we're going to do in this week. So each branch, each group has their Titanium Top 5, and it's
cool.
Communicating back and forth on that and staying in touch, it allows us to keep a pulse on our business without having to constantly be mindful about it. Mm-hmm. Because if we were trying to be constantly mindful of every single thing we had going on in every branch between our two brains, I think that we would never sleep or we would...
But it's also allowed us to create groups like for our cold callers and our acquisitions people. You know, they can communicate about what's going on in their lives with each other, mm-hmm. as whoever's in charge of their particular division. Other systems that we use call tools for our cold calling. For direct mail, I don't know if I'm supposed to promote some of these people, but Yellow Letter HQ.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Let's see, what else?
Oh my goodness.
Hold on, you put us on the spot. Let us think of more systems we use.
You mentioned one again, but I'll bring up another one.
Oh, you did. It's the first time we said it, obviously.
I know.
Going back to the whole point of like our systems and processes, yeah, when we go into a market, let's just stick with like the crown tools that we use. So it is Carrot. Then we use all of our systems that in those things, aside from the people that are in those different branches, those specific tools are what make it.
We use Gusto as well for HR and payroll. Okay. Yeah. So a huge one for us. Mm-hmm. Specifically, you know, with us having employees in all these different states, keeping up with state compliance rules and the HR aspect of it, Gusto takes care of all of that for us. Very low overhead. That's a great tool for us to have as well. Gotcha. If you have a company and you're looking to W-2 employees, as well as offer benefits, it enables us to offer full benefits to all of our employees as well.
Yeah. That's cool. That's way cool.
I think those are the
starter packet.
Yeah.
I can think of more. I'll throw them out there.
That's perfect. I want everyone to write down the ones that can help add value in your business, and then go test them out over the next few weeks. So let's kind of shift gears a little bit here. On 2019, 2020, have you guys started to see any shift in what's working for you for marketing? I know Carrot's been something that you guys have been building out more. And just shamelessly, too, I want to dive into this. I dove into it a lot during my sessions, but not to lead the combo here, but kind of. The more data we've been looking at and the more you see people diving into cold calling and RVMs now, and who knows what's going to happen in that regulation-wise the next 18 months. I think some regulations are going to happen, but we'll see. Then you have direct mail and everything that's working, right? right in the middle of all of it is still the internet. It's like your website. It's because every single marketing piece you do, it creates demand for someone to go online and now vet and verify you or your competitors. And leading forward in this market, what we're finding, it is still, and I'm talking to Bill Hollis, a big investor out of Louisville earlier, and Gabriel Garcia, big one out of Miami, and then Carter Steph, one of the biggest ones up in Oklahoma, and then talking with Craig Reich, a big one up in Maryland. They're all like, my biggest deals tend to come from online from my website. But the volume of deals comes from their cold calling, their direct mail, everything else, right? So what kind of mix are you guys seeing right now, and what are you doubling down on in 2019?
So I completely agree with what you said. The biggest deals do come from online marketing, any form of digital marketing, and SEO, PPC, having investors, all of these things are vitally important. Facebook ads have always been a big part of what we've done at Titanium. But Facebook loves to be ever changing and not so compliant with my wants and desires for investments. So they do make it a little bit difficult on us. It seems like every other day, but you know, y'all do a great job of like communicating that and always, you know, keeping us up to date on the changes that everybody's making online. But, you know, for us, we are really, you know, focusing on cold calling for the volume aspect of things. And part of that is for what we're feeling in the market is, especially with our recent, merger is the best way to say this, with W Streets and Jamie Woolley. You know, Jamie Woolley, RJ Bates, Cassie DeHaas, we're all now one under the Titanium Investments branch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jamie was doing a lot of marketing in every aspect. And we were a little bit more sporadic with our marketing. And lack the consistency that Jamie brought. But we were also a little bit pickier about which forms of marketing we're doing. So we're kind of blending that. We're really focusing and trying to become a master in cold calling. But the reason why we've chosen cold calling is because it is the more affordable form of marketing. And this is our way of protecting ourselves for what could possibly come our way in 2019, specifically in the Texas market, in the
right.
Have we felt some drastic shift? No, but there is definitely a correction of some sorts happening here.
I think the thing that I'm experiencing most that is really difficult for me specifically is because on the listing side, so our properties that we have listed, I'm so used to them selling as long as I like take free pictures.
Yep.
And that is the biggest thing that I have noticed is that properties that went on the market, you know, at the beginning of fall, just how much slower they have been in DFW. I always expect a little bit of a slowdown, but in Texas, in previous years, we have not, at least in our experience. It's not like we're listing 100 properties a quarter, because that's just not what we've done in Texas. But specifically in our experience in DFW, namely, I mean, it's just never been a challenge as long as we've been doing this. So that is, to me, the biggest change that we've noted. And it's the one that probably, it just eats away at me every day because I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what is the adjustment that we need to make? What is, you know, I mean, we're obviously making adjustments on the buy side or anything that we're going to be flipping. But other than that, you know,
going back to kind of what we're feeling in the markets, you know, Phoenix, not really seeing much. Statistically, there's not much of a difference between the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, across the board, almost all of the stats are almost level. In Hawaii, what we've seen is that the price points are staying the same. So instead of seeing this drastic 4 to 5% appreciation, the prices have stayed the same, and days on market have gone up probably about 15 to 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that still keeps it a very healthy market.
Yep.
Even DFW specifically, we're basically seeing the longer listing days, and we're going to see a decrease in appreciation, but we're still probably, I think, in 2019 going to be around 3.3% to 3.5% appreciation. And it was projected for this coming year. So where it's lower than in the past previous 2 years, we're still in a pretty stable market, but those listing days going up is just like a really heavy indicator, where it's not just going from like 2 weeks to, or, you know, you're contracted within 2 weeks, but you're actually having much longer days on market comparatively.
The only thing that's kind of scared me a little bit is that we have had a couple of properties that during the appraisal process, the appraiser has said, I'm appraising this for a lower value due to what's happening in the market.
Huh. Interesting.
Not based off of comps, not based off of any factual, just their feelings of what's happening in the market. Yeah. I'm doing this by $10,000 or $15,000. Yeah. That's why we also feel like it's important. I've mentioned DFW, Phoenix, Alaska, and Hawaii. Those are markets where we flip, right? And that's what we're mentioning those when we're talking about this correction or the climate of our market. I don't really care that much about that in St. Louis or Tulsa or Akron, Ohio, or Birmingham, Alabama, because in those markets, it's steady Eddie. We care about appreciation. There is none to be had. We're buying properties there that are great cash flow assets, and that's all we care about.
Gotcha.
But that's how we've diversified ourselves, and that's why we've chosen those markets. Because if the floor was to fall out and everything was to just go to hell in a handbasket, whatever that saying is, handbasket, in those other four markets, we still have St. Louis, Akron, and Birmingham, and Tulsa to help us.
I love it. So you mentioned a good point there, guys, where you've got the markets where kind of steady Eddie, then you've got markets like, you know, Vegas or Phoenix and Dallas and Hawaii that are kind of more ones that tend to have greater appreciation, might have a pullback. A lot of people are saying it's more of a normalizing than a correction that they predict, right? It's where, like you're saying, Cassie, rather than a week or two locking it down, it's not going to be a month or 35 days to sell it, which is still really healthy. But one thing I want people to really think about is this is just like RJ said, those other steady Eddie markets, there's people making really good money in those markets every day. The difference is they're not baking in or thinking that in their numbers, I'm going to bank on appreciation. They're making sure that their buy side, like Cassie said, is dialed down. Their numbers are dialed in. They're making it up on the buy side for sure. So no matter what market you're in, if you're in a market like Dallas and you see appreciation just slowing down, I think that's the biggest thing. Do you guys have like a calculation you're using? And a lot of people are like, hey, before it used to be 65%, then it was 75%, then it was 80%, now people are stepping it back, or is it deal to deal for you guys?
We always consider those numbers just because our core is, you know, is wholesaling. So we have to be, you know, considering those. Mm-hmm. I don't really look at it like that. I tend to think of it like you just account for a little bit more hold days. If you're in that market. So, you know, it's not going to make too much of a huge difference in as far as like your purchase price. Mm-hmm. As long as you're, I mean, we tend to really heavily rely on comps for our numbers. And so you're viewing comps, but you know, we're viewing more active properties as well, mm-hmm. just to account for that than we used to. Active and pendings are super, super, super important. As far as having like a 70, 75, 80%, I think that
depends on the market. I mean, yeah. Like us, if we're going to buy something in Hawaii or Alaska, it's going to be max 65% of the ARV minus repairs.
Okay.
Really, we can almost get them at 60%. In Phoenix, we're going to be okay at 75% minus repairs. And here in DFW, we're going to be somewhere between 70 and 75%. But then say in St. Louis, it's more of these are the core zip codes that I want to buy in. These are the neighborhoods I want to buy in. And I know I can buy those properties anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. My rehab should be $5,000 to $10,000 and they're worth $55,000. They rent for $800 a month. That's your property. That's what I want. I don't care about anything else. And so it's kind of narrowing down each one of our markets. We kind of have different numbers per the market. And that's where, you know, individually with our partners, we establish those numbers and then they kind of run with it from that point.
I love it. I love it. Well, we could talk for hours and hours, guys. I got a couple more last questions and we'll wrap. And one of them is on the online side of things. That's where I'm always kind of curious. I'm always wanting to dig in. And every single year, kind of one of the things that spurred this summit was every year I pick up the phone and call a bunch of investors, friends of mine, like, hey, what are you guys looking at for this next year? And it's kind of my R&D. You know, how do I serve you guys better? So for the online side of things, kind of what's your guys' strategy this year? Is there anything that we can serve you guys on as you scale things up on the online side?
Well, you know, my biggest thing with you is
like 8,000 websites, dude.
I have to figure out how I'm going to have 150 character websites without, you know, spending my entire year marketing budget. but outside of that,
we've got to hire somebody just to manage our carrot websites.
So on that, that's something that we're looking at is how do we serve the enterprise level better? And so I would definitely love to connect with you guys outside of this and just kind of pick your brains. And of course, not everyone's going to do what you guys do and launch 100 plus carrot websites. Mm-hmm. You guys are obviously seeing value from that's where you're scaling it up. But I'd love to kind of find, hey, where are those gaps that we can fill on the high level, high end market with you guys?
I think the other thing for us is that we are really going to pinpoint the specific markets where PPC can be a huge part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Hawaii.
Yep.
That's a market that my beloved partner, Elijah Dela Garza, out in Hawaii, is my childhood best friend since fifth grade. Mad scientist is what we call it. Not knowing anything about real estate investing. I mean, we had probably had Titanium Hawaii started for a couple of months. And he went in and created a Google AdWords account and started running PPC for Hawaii. And we started getting deals.
Yep.
And I was like, bro, like log me in. Let me, what are we running these at? I got to see what we're doing here. Like we're masters at this. We brought in like keywords for like real estate. I want to buy a house. I want to sell. Like it wasn't even like the actual keywords that we need to be running to get motivated sellers.
Yeah.
And we were still getting the leads. And so I was like,
oh man,
hold on. I think there's an opportunity here. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, use some skill and some talent here. We could really dive in. And so we have a couple of markets like that, that we really feel like PPC is going to be a great tool for us.
Mm-hmm. I think also like those markets too, I feel a little bit behind the ball just because we should already be doing better in them as it sits. But I think what stops us a little bit is like, we're going to have to go in and plug like market specific content in a place like Hawaii. We're going to have to go in and plug in market specific content in a place like Alaska, you know, our websites there, they're not allowed to be as quite as generic as our stuff in some of our other markets.
Insert Trevor's sell pitch on how Carrot can help us with that.
Yeah.
Maybe, seriously. No, that's something I'd love to dig in with you guys on for sure.
Yeah. So that's exactly why I brought it up. Cause he said, crack that lip, Trevor.
But I mean, again, Facebook ads is, and real quick, here's my like sales pitch on Facebook ads to all investors. I think one of the most underutilized way to utilize Facebook ads is when you're trying to go after motivated sellers with Facebook ads, go in with a very specific area and type of property that you're wanting to get. For us, what I mean by that is we've gone after newer construction homes that we can take subject to and own finance or hold as rentals. That is what we specifically have utilized Facebook ads for.
So are you taking an offline list, like your cold calling list, and uploading it? Is that what you're talking about?
But more specifically here in DFW, there's actual zip codes, entire zip codes, where there's only new construction. So what like 2005 and newer. So yeah, maybe some of them will be 10, 12 years old, but you're also going to get the 2012 builds where there's not a ton of equity there, but it's a great subject to where you can take down, really utilize none of your own money to take it down, maybe a couple thousand in arrears to make up the payments. But then you can owner finance it or you can, hold it as a rental. And that's what we've utilized Facebook ads for. Whereas I've seen a lot of people try to use Facebook ads to try to find wholesale deals and, you know, really spend way too much money on it, you know, because going back to you saw me at the Propelio event talking about a Facebook ad testimonial. Well, that was one that I think we only spent like $100 on the entire ad, and we ended up making like 30 something thousand on the property.
Yep.
And we were able to do that on a regular basis. You know, mm-hmm. It's not something that was like, oh, it just happened at one time. That was just us being very hands-on and managing those Facebook ads and utilizing the carrot campaigns that y'all have.
Yep.
How many clicks you're getting to your website. I don't trust Facebook to tell me how many clicks I have. I trust Carrot to tell me how many clicks. Because then I can also see how long were they on my website? What other pages did they click on? What matters to my client? Is it testimonials? Is it the about us? Is it the frequently asked questions? What is it on my website that my clients care about?
I love it, man. As you're saying that, I'm actually bringing it up on myself on my Carrot account. And even internally, I was doing this the other day. I'm like, I need to record a video on this because so many people aren't doing exactly what you mentioned there, RJ, of using our campaign builder. So to market this summit, I went into our campaign builder on our side because we have the same tools you guys do. I went in there. I can't spell my name, apparently. I said Trevor. That's not my name.
It makes me feel better that you spelled my name wrong, or whoever did it spelled my name wrong on this whole thing. Like, my life is now complete again.
is it one S or two?
It's no, my first name was right. My last name is DEHAAS.
So I got you.
I should ask, because if people do go look for hashtagging us and or tagging us and stuff, they're going to not find me.
We'll get it updated, because what I did was I verbalized the guest list of people and they started writing it down.
That's what I figured. And
that's my bad there for not checking it. Sorry about that.
Okay, because you spell your own name wrong. Go back.
I know.
So you utilize that. It shows you how many clicks to your site.
Yeah. So right there.
Wait.
Exactly. So for my Instagram ad right there, I went and made a tracking link inside of Carrot. And so I didn't hook mine up. Like, it's not showing any leads because of the way that we hooked it up. We can't tell when we drive it. It's ours is connected to Google. But then right here, that's a Facebook ad I did. So this is about a day and a half ago. I created two separate ads, one for Instagram, one for Facebook. Went in here, created my tracking link. I plunked those puppies on there. So now I got 68 and 62 links respectively in 24 hours. And I can tell that at least they're getting clicks. And now you guys would be able to tell how many leads are coming in.
That's another thing, Trevor, is when I'm running the Facebook ad, I'm not, if I get 150 clicks to my website and I get no leads, I'm clearly targeting the wrong audience. Point to my website, but they get to my website and they're like, oh, this isn't what I thought.
Yep.
Either my copy on my ad is wrong, my demographics in the ad are wrong, something is not converting. And so that's why when you probably look at my account, it doesn't look like we're generating a ton of leads, because I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to go in and get the one lead, the one click, the one lead that I want. And then it's, to me, Facebook ads exhaust very quickly when you're trying to find motivated sellers.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because a lot of times I target my own zip code and it hits me and I'm like, out of my face. Like, I don't want to see you anymore. And I'm paying for it, you know? So we shut them down very quickly. And so that's how we've utilized Facebook ads. I talk about it a lot. Because I'm passionate about it, and the fact that I think it works and it's very affordable. It's an amazing ROI, but it's not a volume play. It's a specific play.
I love it. Well, guys, I appreciate the heck out of you guys coming on here, and I'm pumped about seeing you at the next Investor Fuel. I'm not going to be at the next one. I'm going to be at Disneyland with my family during that week, so I'm bummed I can't make that one. But I love you guys' energy as always, and I appreciate you guys carving out the time in a busy part of the year to come on here for 45 minutes or so to yak and talk about what you guys are doing. And where can people follow you guys if they want to kind of follow along what you guys are doing?
So I always say Facebook is the best place to find me, but my name is spelled very specifically. Last name is DeHaas, DEHAAS.
Yep.
So that's the easiest way to follow me.
You find me, RJ Bates III. Facebook is the best place to follow me. Also to follow Titanium Investments. We have our main Titanium Investments page. And then if you don't care about Texas and you want to follow Titanium Investments, it's Titanium Investments of whatever state you're in. We have a page set up for it. Follow us there. And if we're not in your state yet and you want us to be, we love partnering with people. Out and see if there's a good fit.
I love it.
Facebook pages are pretty insane. You'll see that when you go on RJ. So to get a hold of
it. I have a logo addiction. I can't help it.
It's good, man. I love them. I love all your little localized logos for Titanium. They look awesome. So everybody, he mentioned the tools. They both mentioned the tools. You guys go down there, take some of those tools that they had mentioned, execute some of them. If you're already a Carrot member, just know there's tools within Carrot you're not using. The campaigns tracker, use that. All kinds of stuff you guys are probably not using that RJ and Cassie are using to really amplify stuff. And then just kind of recap on a couple other things. Like a lot of the bigger investors, it's really hard to scale your online to match your cold calling or direct mail or combining those. But where online is It's your, some of your highest profit deals. It's some of your biggest deals, and it amplifies all of your offline marketing. It makes your offline marketing work better as people are betting and verifying and researching you from your other marketing methods. But use the same tool that Titanium Investments is using to grow a multi-million dollar a year operation as a part of their overall ecosystem. So thank you guys. Have an amazing rest of the week, and we'll see you guys sometime this year, probably in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
Bye. Right, thanks, guys.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to that episode. If it's going to help you grow your business, make sure you go to carrot.com/summit, grab the recordings while they're still available for 50% off, $99. That's carrot.com/summit. If you regularly listen to the Carrotcast and you haven't got the chance to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes yet, please head over there and just take a couple minutes to leave us a review. That is our fuel. That is what keeps us motivated and excited about putting these episodes out every single week and engaging with you guys. So thanks again for being a listener, and we will see you next week.